unusual increase is the ministry session we're about to hear from Pastor Doug Fisher. Pastor Fisher is the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in San Diego, California. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Exodus 1, Acts 8. And, you know, they wanted a title, so I gave them a title. But if you're looking for outline, I've already changed the outline six times this morning.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I didn't want to give them an outline. So Exodus 1, this conference, I don't know how you would categorize it, but year after year, would you agree that it seems to be a lot of themes, but increase is one of them? I mean, every year I come here, the concept is, let's see God increase us. Let's see what God will do to give us the increase. And we know that God gives the increase. But I want to give you an aspect of increase that probably is not talked about a whole lot. But it's a biblical principle that sometimes happens. Look at Exodus 1, notice verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to, would you say the next word, say it? Afflict. Would you underline afflict? Because afflict means to give continuous pain and grief or distress, to give continuous pain, grief, or distress. So they put taskmasters over them to give them pain, and it gave them great distress. And notice verse 12, and this is a key verse. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Have you ever noticed in your churches where you seem to be growing, seems to be like a lot of individuals get afflicted? Now talk to me a little bit. This is not a dead session. Am I the only one that when there's an increase going on in the church, it seems like three or four of your good members are going through something? And then somebody else comes to you and they need to see you about this. And then some, and it's almost like it's a full moon. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like what just happened? And you can see the increase going on, but there's a lot of peripheral things going on too in individuals' lives. And when it says they afflicted them, the more they afflicted them, I want you to remember that they were afflicting individuals, and the more they afflicted them, it just seems to be like the more that they begin to grow and God gave the increase. Look at Acts chapter 8, a familiar scripture, Acts chapter 8. And just so you see it in the old and the new, Acts chapter 8. And praise the Lord for increase, but sometimes we think about, boy, are we ready for it? Are we ready to handle the crowds? But I wonder sometimes, am I ready to handle the affliction? And notice chapter 8 of Acts chapter, Acts chapter 8, verse 3. And as for Saul, he made havoc. Would you underline the word havoc? Havoc is a tumult, turmoil caused by evil zeal. The word evil is in the definition, havoc. Tumult or turmoil caused, and the more he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and notice individually hailing men and women, committing them to prison. You know, there's a whole lot of tears going on here. But notice verse 4, therefore, you know the scriptures, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, there was an increase going on. Even in that great tumult and that great turmoil, and when there's evil zeal going on, and there's no doubt grief going on. I picture mothers crying. Yeah. I picture husbands in great distress. And even when that's all going on, God is giving the increase. Now, I'm going to say it again. Am I the only one in here that's a pastor, a missionary evangelist, that you watch missionaries, you watch that it seems like sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes when there's an increase going on, it seems like it's counterbalanced in some way, shape, or form by havoc, like turmoil, like great grief and pain and distress. And may I say, it even can come in on us personally. I wonder sometimes, now I'm not God, but I wonder sometimes if he looks down at me and says, Doug, I'd like to give you the increase again. But you seem to be complaining a whole lot about the affliction. And I need you to embrace that part of it that comes along with it before I can give you more. You're down there saying, Lord, help us to win souls, help us to increase, help us to grow in quality and quantity and depth. But when I start doing it, you come back to me saying help and I want out. Am I the only one that's ever said I want out? Sure. You're looking at me like, okay, you're still young then. You haven't got to the I want out phase yet. And maybe you'll never get there. There's a percent of you that will look at me and say, I'll never get there. But some of you have been there and will be there. I want out. Like today. And then if we got out, we'd be saying tomorrow, I want back in. So the concept is this. Sometimes with increase comes this affliction. Would you agree that Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in there, boy, are they increasing. Man, we talk about New Testament church growth. But let me just point out a couple scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 4. You're doing great. Acts chapter 4. And notice Acts chapter 4, verse 18. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. They, thanks for turning there. They is in verse number 6, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander. They are all the ones that helped put Jesus on the cross. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And notice verse 20. They said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further what? Say the word. Threaten them. Now, I just want you to see this. While this increase is going on, the leaders are getting threatened. And you may say, what's the big deal? Wait till you're threatened. Wait till it comes. But it doesn't stop there because you say, well, was there increase going on? Verse 29. And notice how they responded. And I wish I respond more like this. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak the word. So they come back to the Lord and said, they're threatening us, so grant us boldness, and God fills them. Why? For more increase. But it doesn't stop there. Look at chapter 5, and notice verse 18. Verse 18, it's the same high priest, the same group. Verse 18, chapter 5, they laid their hands on the apostles this time, and notice they put him in prison. Now, I've never been put in prison for the gospel. So they threaten him, and now they up the ante a little bit, and they put him in prison. But notice the angel of the Lord shows up that night, and he opens the door, and he tells him, now, look, I'm going to open the door. He says, now go stand and speak in the temple. And there's an increase. Brethren, I don't know about you, but this thing is creating quite a drawing of a crowd. But there's things the leaders are facing behind the scenes. Verse 40. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and notice what they did next when they had called the apostles and what, say it? Beaten them. They were threatened and they put in prison, and now they're beaten. And brethren, I just don't think we understand really sometimes. They were beaten. And then they commanded them again that they shouldn't speak. But no, look what happened in verse 42. So they just decided, well, daily in the temple we're holding church. And now we're going into every house. And they didn't stop from teaching. I'm saying while the increase is going on, there's affliction going on with leaders. It doesn't stop there. Look at chapter 12 real quick. Chapter 12, and we'll get off this in a minute. I just want you to see the principle. Chapter 12. So we had this conflict of affliction and havoc. And notice the word that's used in chapter 12 of Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Now about that time Herod and the king stretched forth his hand to what? Would you underline vex? You had havoc, you had afflict. Here's a vex. Vex just means to bring great trouble to. He begins to vex certain of the church. Who do you think he's going to vex? Yeah, the leadership. So he kills James. And then he took Peter. And you know what he was intending to do with Peter. But look what happened in verse 5. And if you don't get this, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but the church got busy praying for him. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. If you're a church leader, missionary, I got to tell you, one of the best things that you can do is thank the people for praying for you. And I'm going to tell you, prayer is more important than money. Money can't buy your way out of 3 o'clock in the morning when your brain's working overtime. All the money in the world can't help you right then. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you don't. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when you wake up in the middle of the night fretting, worrying, afflicted in your mind, partly because of ourselves, partly maybe because of principalities and powers, partly because a member said they're leaving and they're not getting fed. Come on. But don't take it personally. Come on. We're leaving the church because the church doesn't care about us. But don't take it personally. I don't know about you. When somebody says the church doesn't care about it, I'm thinking about me.
That's right. You're right, preacher.
I mean, that gets to me. I know it shouldn't, but that can lodge in there and not go away for days. Depending on how long you've known them. Depending on how close you were to them. Am I the only one that gets that? But sometimes, doesn't that come with the increase? Like God swaps people out and gives you more?
That's right.
One leaves that you didn't know was causing division. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I got liberty.
Amen.
Where'd that come from?
Amen.
And you start searching your prayer life. What did I do different this week? What did I do different this week? What did I do different this week, you know? And it wasn't you that did any different. God just removed a hindrance that we didn't know. We still all right?
Amen.
Not everybody leaving. Well, let me put it a different way. When somebody leaves, it's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it is, but not always. We just can't see it. My point is that when this great growth was going on, by the way, verse 24, while this was all going on, the word of God grew and multiplied. Yeah. So I want you to do this now. Would you look at Matthew 4 and Luke 22? While there was great growth going on, there was also this concept that affliction can come. Matthew 4 and Luke 22. And I want to give you something maybe a little practical, and then we'll jump into something, then we'll go eat. Matthew chapter 4, Luke 22. With growth sometimes, with increase, can come this affliction, this havoc, this vexation, if you would. These problems jump up that are beyond. Matthew 4 and Luke 22. In Matthew 4, you know the story. Verse 1, Jesus was led of the Spirit. Where? Right into the battle. Man, right into the wilderness, right into the devil. And I'm not going to go over the whole battle, but I want you to see when it was over, verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. But I want you to see what happens after that. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Have you ever thought the Lord, God, the Father, could have just put his voice out of heaven and said, good job, son. This is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. But may I say to you, that voice was for those that were with him. Jesus already knew the Father was pleased, but evidently the Father knew that Jesus needed something. He could have dropped manna down from heaven. He could have had ravens bring it in. What do you mean? Jesus was hungered? After 40 days, he was hungry? You say he was God. He was hungry?
You're right.
And God sent angels to minister to him, which I'm speculating there was food involved. There was comfort involved. And the Father just didn't drop it down out of heaven. He sent ministering spirits. Now, I want to make this statement. I'm not saying he's going to send angels to you. But he sent agents. Someone to help him. Come on, is that right? Look, if you could, one more time, look at Luke 22. Luke 22, it's the other time where he goes into this great affliction. He was afflicted. Fasting is called in the Bible affliction. He was in great pain and suffering during that fast against the devil. Look at Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 42. You're doing well. You know he's in the garden. Look what he says. Luke 22, 42. And the first thing he says is, Father. It's a prayer. He's talking to the Lord. He's talking to the Father. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. You know that. Nevertheless, not my will be done. He's talking to the Father. And notice verse 43. And there appeared an angel. Now, I'm not saying angels are going to appear to us, but evidently when he said Father, the Father said, I needed an angel to go down to my son. I want some agent to show up, and I want to strengthen him right now. Brethren, I know we sometimes get it from the Word and we get it from the Holy Spirit, but isn't it good when sometime God sends somebody to us?
Amen.
And what I'm saying is I don't think God the Father could have sent a human. They were asleep. But even if they would have woke up, what are they going to say? They don't even know he's going in to die. But the angel shows up and it says, an angel from heaven doing what? Saying? Strengthening him. Evidently, when he said Father, and he knows the struggle. Evidently, he didn't ask for it, but the Father said, you know, I need an angel to go down there and strengthen my son right now. And then the next thing, he prayed more. So God the Father sent an angel to strengthen him to pray more into more affliction. All right, what's the point? Brethren, every once in a while in our affliction, we read the Word of God, we get something out of the Word of God, but I want to say that if we're in the increase, look up here, if we're in the increase and there's afflictions going on, and sometimes it's amongst the people, but sometimes it comes upon the leadership, that once in a while, I think God does something to help us in an unusual way. I want to take about 10 minutes to show you just an Old Testament example. Look at 2 Samuel 15 and Psalms 55. 2 Samuel 15 and Psalms 55. And this will kind of be maybe now where we're going as far as just the concept of unusual increase. The increase comes, the afflictions might come, many times they do come. During the Lord's affliction, he sent angels to minister to him. I'm not saying an angel is going to show up. During his affliction in the garden, God sends an angel to minister or strengthen to him. And I just want you to see somebody that we would think highly of. 2 Samuel 15, Psalms 55. I want you to think about just for David for a moment. And David's going through one of the most toughest times of his life. And would you agree that David's kingdom was characterized by increase? Yeah. If you've ever studied it out, he went from 400 to when Joab numbered, Joab stopped at numbering 1.5 million men. It's in Chronicles. And he didn't. That was the men in the ages of war. He didn't. I'd say from 300 to 1.5 million men, not including women, children, all the rest, is pretty good growth for a kingdom. And we don't know how far it went. But I want you to see David just for a moment in one of his most afflicted times. It's when Absalom and Ahithophel are after him. And notice verse 30. Stay right with me. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. And notice what's going on with the leader. Notice he wept as he went up. Had his head covered. And notice, he was barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up. Now, just try to put yourself in it for a moment. And then, while he was walking up there, one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators. Stop right there. Put your finger right there and go to Psalms 55. In Psalms 55... And you can read this later. Psalms 55. You're doing well, guys. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. It was not an enemy that reproached me. You ever been betrayed by somebody within? I'll ask you again. You ever been yet betrayed by somebody within? He said, it was not an enemy that reproached me. He said, if it was an enemy, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, and here's the key word, my God, my guide, remember his counselor, mine acquaintance. Brethren, this wasn't Absalom, this was Ahithophel. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. This is Ahithophel, his trusted counselor. You say, what was David feeling in verses 12, 13, and 14? How is he feeling? Look at verse 4. Back up to verse 4. You holding your place over in 2 Samuel? He said this. David says, my heart is sore pain within me. Have you ever had that? To where your heart just hurts? The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. And horror hath overwhelmed me. What was he thinking? Oh, that I had wings like a dove. You say, what does that mean? I don't get the old English there. He wanted to run. Verse 7, lo, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. He wanted to run. Verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. There was a tempest going on in the city. He was trying to protect the city. Man, he wanted to run. And may I say to you, while he's walking up the hill weeping and barefooting, this thing is overwhelming him, especially when he finds out that Ahithophel has turned on him. Now remember, David was always seeming in an increase, but go back now to 2 Samuel 15, and there's affliction that's going on, is what I'm saying. There's turmoil, there's havoc, there's vexation, there's grief, there's pain. Look at verse 31, stay right with me, we're almost there. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And notice what David says, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, don't stop there. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he did what?
Worship.
Right in the middle of this affliction, he worshiped God. Behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him. And boy, Hushai was all torn up. And notice what David said. He's thinking about it. David's got his mind on Ahithophel. David's got his mind on Ahithophel. And David said, watch, he says to Hushai, if thou passest on with me, if you come with me, you're going to be a burden to me. But I got something I need you to do. If thou return to the city, say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been for thy father's servant. So will I now also be thy servants. And look what he says. He's got this thing on your mind. Hushai, then mayest thou for me. Would you underline for me? Would you do something for me? Hushai, would you put yourselves in harm's way for me? Would you go back in there, and for me, would you defeat the counsel of Ahithophel? Now, it's interesting. David's praying, he's walking up, and he's saying, oh, Lord, defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Why? Because David knows Ahithophel is wise, and he knows a whole lot. And when he sees Hushai, he says, I got something for you to do. Would you do something for me? Brother, I got to tell you something. There's nothing like somebody being with you,
yes, that's good, preacher,
when you're going through it that you can trust.
Right.
Confidential.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Won't tell anybody. They don't go home and tell their wife.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They don't go tell their brothers. Mm-hmm. You can talk to them, and you know whatever you say to them is going nowhere. And look, sometimes you just need a sounding block.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to hear yourself think, just to make sure you're not going crazy. And what you're saying is, you know, I just need to talk this thing. Do you do that or not? Am I the only? And you talk and you know they're going to be confidential. And then sometimes they'll say, you know, I think you're okay, preacher. I think you're thinking right. And what I tell them is, don't be a yes man, though. Don't just tell me I'm thinking right if I'm not thinking right, because I'm bouncing off of you to make sure I don't get in trouble with the Lord here. I'm trying to discern so I don't do it carnally what to do. You still with me? Some of you are looking like stares, like you don't know what. Oh, you'll need a friend sooner or later. You'll need God to have an agent come to you. And I'm not talking about an angel. I'm talking about somebody flesh and blood. You say, why Hushai? Well, would you look down at Hushai, who he was in verse 37? So Hushai, David's what?
Friend.
Would you write that down again? Would you say it again? David's what?
Friend.
So David's walking up the hill weeping and barefoot, and he's thinking Ahithophel has joined them. And man, everything topped off. He's already destroyed his mind as far as by his son Absalom, who he loved, turned on him, stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He knows there's a division between Israel and Judah. The schism has been there a long time. And he's going, my kingdom has fallen apart. I got to get this thing out of Jerusalem so Jerusalem doesn't come to the edge of the sword. He's walking up weeping and barefoot. Lord, would you defeat the counsel of Ahithophel? Hushai comes by and David says, I want you to go in and do it. I need your help. I need you to do something for me. Brethren, have you ever had somebody take care of something that you couldn't take care of yourself? I know we're supposed to be able to take care of everything, but brethren, there's some parts of my personality that don't do well. And it's good when somebody else does it that can sleep at night. Do you know what I'm talking about or not? I mean, or you just don't have the wisdom to do it, or you're not in the place to do it, or if I do it, it'll look like, and it'll cause collateral damage because I'm the pastor, and if they think I did it, it's going to cause collateral damage with this, and I need to keep myself neutral. Look up here, but I need to have this thing done. You say, it's almost like you're scheming. Look, David prayed and said, oh God, please defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. He doesn't know when he comes to the top of the mount. Here's Hushai. Waiting. In place. Let's call it a divine appointment. The friend's there. And he says, Hushai is my friend. I can trust him. Hushai, you're influential. Go back in. And I need you to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. David is more concerned about Ahithophel than he is Absalom. Because Ahithophel is the brains behind this operation. Come on, are you still with me? And I'm talking about this is an attempted kingdom split. This is an attempted church division. This is something destroying the increase. You still with me? This is somebody trying to get you out of your mission field. This time somebody trying to ruin you in your town. Spread rumors and gossip about you and just ruin you in the church, or if it's within there. And maybe say, I haven't been through that yet. I hope you never go through it. Man, I'd like to hear 30 years from now. Never face that. But a good percentage of us have and will. And it'll be from within. And it's so nice when you're just walking up and you don't know what to do and, wow, Hushai, would you do something for me, Hushai? You're more of a burden to me here, but if you'll go back in there and fight for me. And the only thing I want you to do, it's not fisticuffs, I just want you to use your influence. You still with me? You say, what's this like? To me, it's like angels ministering to the Lord. It's like an agent showing up when I need it. It's like when David's in the wood and Jonathan shows up to strengthen his hands in God against his own father. You say that again. The father's chasing his friend. And Jonathan's got a huge dilemma going on. And Jonathan shows up to strengthen his friend to help him to avoid capture of the father. David's father Saul. But the friend shows up. Do you ever have a friend show up? By phone? By email? By letter? Confidential? David needs Hushai. Let's finish it out. Because look at chapter 16. Finish it out. I'm sorry, chapter 17. Thank you. Chapter 17. Verse 7. Underline it. Verse 7. You're doing great. We're almost finished. Verse 7. And Hushai said unto who? Oh, now he's in it, man. You say, wait a minute, stop right there. Hey, he goes right in to the one trying to split, to the one trying to take over, to the one who's been working. And he's going to go in between these two guys, Absalom and Ahithophel. Hushai says to Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good. Oh, now he's in the breach. It could go either way. I'll let you read this sometime, but look at verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of... Say it. Israel. Oh, you ought to mark down Israel. It didn't say Judah. It said Israel. Because there's a split between Israel and Judah going on. David's of Judah. All the people from Judah are with David. He's going right into Israel now. You say, I don't get that. Read it. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. What are you saying? Right there, it all turns around. And David's prayer is answered, but God uses an agent, a friend. Don't you feel supported when that situation finally gets taken care of? And you thank the Lord, and you hug somebody that's been with you through it. I'll give you a case in point. 10 years ago, I went through a depression. I know you're not supposed to say that, but I did. You say, don't say depression. You were just discouraged. It was a depression. When you're discouraged for 8 months, that's a depression.
You're right.
It's okay. I mean, I was down, crying under covers. There was a pastor that called for me. A couple, but one specifically. And he called. I didn't know this till much, much later. And he couldn't get a hold of me, but he got a hold of my wife, and he talked to my wife. And then About 4 months later, he called again to get a hold of me, and he didn't get a hold of me, but he got a hold of my wife. Now, listen carefully. My wife told me years later, and my wife was the one who really saw me cry under the covers, and I cried on her shoulder so much, and you say, you're not supposed to do that. She's my wife. You can't hide it. She was made to specifically get ready to let me cry on her shoulder. We didn't know that when we entered in. And she said one of the biggest things that got me through, which, by the way, he called to encourage the encourager to encourage me. And my wife continued to encourage me. No, I think you'll come out of it. No, I'm insane the rest of my life. I don't think I'm coming out of this thing. And boy, I'm sorry, and I won't go into the whole thing. But she said, two phone calls from a man helped me. It was the man that preached this morning, Bobby Robertson. And we don't even hardly know each other. I've seen him a few times. I've heard him preach. I can say, hey, Brother Bobby, how you doing? He said, Brother Doug, how you doing? But I've not spent a whole lot of time with him. But somehow he heard. And you see, years ago, he went through one because of some situations. And he called for me, but he got a hold of my wife. And he spent a half an hour on the phone with my wife both times. I didn't even know about it. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying he called and helped someone who was encouraging me. Bobby could have called me and may have not been as much of an encouragement as him encouraged my wife who was right there. You know, don't be alone in this thing.
Amen.
I mean, trust somebody. You say, I trust the Lord. Okay, I got that. Trust the Lord. Yeah, I do too. And I need scriptures, I know. But brother, sooner or later, it might be that you say, Father, if thou will, let this cup pass from me, like in season, out of season. And when you say that, okay, God may not send an angel. But look up here. He may send somebody your way that you need. Because in increase, there are sometimes vexations, afflictions, and havoc. And please look up here. And sometimes it comes in on us. New Testament church growth. Okay. Threatenings, imprisons, beatings, and finally they killed one of them. And they intended to kill another. While that's all going on, everybody's excited about church growth. How are you doing? And if you ever have somebody that has been a friend to you, then I want to say this to you. You might be called on by the Lord to be a friend to somebody else. And you better keep confidential. And it's not a passing thing. And don't judge them. Nobody, somebody didn't judge you. A brother is born for. And it says, a man that hath friends must show himself to be. How about on that level? I'm not talking about shaking hands. I'm talking about crying with him. And then it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we say, that's Jesus. I know. But maybe sometimes we need to be a friend that sticketh.
Good.
Stays with somebody.
Right.
Even put ourselves in harm's way a little bit. I just wonder if anybody in here is going through it. I hope you got something this week.
Amen.
I hope you got something from the preaching. I hope you got some of the Word of God. But maybe even just as important, I hope you met a friend at the top of the mountain. That will be confidential. That will help you. It's time for lunch, but could we do something just before we leave? If we were to pray with each other for 5 minutes, would it hurt? You say, pray. This is an altar call. I'm talking about if we just were to turn to the guy next to us that you don't even know and just have a word of prayer with him, two by two. I mean, because you never can tell when somebody in here is about halfway up the top of the mountain, weeping, barefoot. And, no, everybody looks good in here. Yeah, but you don't know what they're going to be like tonight, what they're facing when they go home. And, you know, but they got help. They've been here. Yeah, I know. But Absalom might be back there and Ahithophel, and maybe they need a Hushai. Or maybe you'll get the opportunity to be a Hushai. And I got to tell you, see, look up here. You got to go out of your way. And you got to bear somebody's burden. And it's going to take your time. And it's going to be inconvenient. And they're going to be a little high maintenance for a while. I can't stand high maintenance people. Wait till you are one. I mean, just for a season. Not permanently, but just for a period of time, you might become that. I can't believe I'm so high maintenance. Gee, man, I've never been this way before. I know, Doug, but I just need to let you see what it's like so you don't complain so much. Yeah. When you're growing and I let you go through affliction, or I let the church go through that, or I bring somebody your way that the church is growing, but while they're growing, they're being afflicted.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.